This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. This week on AMI Audio's The Pulse, ladies and gentlemen, Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern, we celebrate Pride Month with activist and artist Kate Walsh, who talks about the intersection of LGBTQ identity and disability. Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, Jim Stanford of the Center of Future Work discusses the impact of technology on job creation and the quality of work. That's The Pulse this weekend here on AMI Audio, also available as a podcast. Danielle McLaughlin's with me today. I'm Kelly McDonald, hosts of Kelly and Company.
Today for our regional content report, we're joined by Karen McGee, AMI Content Development Specialist in Ottawa. Hello, Karen.
Good afternoon, guys. Nice to talk to you again.
Nice to hear your voice. How are you doing?
My voice is much better. I have a wonderful vocal therapist. I'm very happy with the way it's turned out. Now, if I get really excited, I still crack a bit, but so I'll try not to get too emotional.
Okay, we'll hold you we'll hold you down.
Well, you can also hear with Karen. I always love the fact that you can hear your smile. So I hear it even bigger today because, you know, guys, it's back. It is back. That voice.
It was a lot of work, and I feel very, very, very fortunate. Like I said, she had me doing some great exercises. Yeah, she actually increased my vocal range and my singing as well.
Oh, as part of this.
So yeah.
Oh.
I won't break out into song because, you know, rights and everything, but you know,
right.
It's there.
But,
just, you know,
when we do our next radio play, there you go.
Yeah, no. But thank you for thinking of me.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
Tell us about the TD Reads program. The summer break is just around the corner. In fact, some kids have decided to get off early. And with it, the TD Reads summer reading program. How does that work?
So I don't know about you guys, but for me, summer was a chance to read. I love to read. I still love to read. I have a stack of books that I won't tell you how many are sitting by my bed in my to read pile. And I'll probably never get through all the books that I've bought over the years. But I love the idea of this program because not every kid is enthusiastic about reading as I was. The basic idea behind it is to encourage kids to read. It's for all ages and kids of all abilities. And some of the neat things this program has kids do is you vote in the battle of books. You can pick, you know, which book was your favorite one all summer. You can review books. They want to know kids' opinions about books. It's important for kids to voice their opinion about books and talk about them. Weekly trivia games. You know how much I love trivia. Write your own stories. Read and write jokes. And there's a lot more other things you can do as part of it. The basic purpose of the club is to get kids to focus on Canadian authors and Canadian literature, illustrators' stories, and inspire kids to explore the fun of reading their way. So you can read online. You can read with a book in your hand. I still prefer a book in my hand, but I do read online. It's accessible, and as part of the program, it includes, among other things, materials for the program and books that are in large print, braille, and audiobooks. And this includes all the notebooks and workbooks that go along with the program, the stickers, that sort of thing you get for completing books. It's all accessible. They have things for kids who have dyslexia as well. They use a dyslexia font for things. So they've really thought of a lot of ways to make this program accessible for everybody.
And how do kids register for the program?
So you can register at your local library or online at tdsummerreadingclub.ca. Last year, almost 350,000 kids registered. So it's a really, really popular program. And like I said earlier, it's accessible for everybody. So get out there. And I know it's not the most exciting thing to do in the summer when there's Netflix and video games, but reading is so important. Your imagination. My first job was at a library, so I'm really passionate about libraries and books, in case you couldn't tell.
Oh, I'm with you. I love libraries. And I remember when I was little, we spent some time visiting with my grandparents in Winnipeg. And in order for me to be able to escape from family stuff, I would walk down to the local library, and I remember having this terrible fear that I would read all the books if I weren't careful. And before the summer was out, of course, that did not happen.
And I remember that myself with we'd get a list of talking books at the time, as they were called. And I remember sitting at the dining room table with my mother or my father, primarily my dad, usually going through this list and how many my father would, oh, yeah, you'll like that. What are you doing, Dad? He'd scribble down the ones he liked and never would listen to them. But the fact is, by the time we'd get through the list and throw it back in the mail for CNIB at the time to be able to send me the books, I'd forget totally. But as they started to roll in, it was just like a surprise. You got another book. Oh, I wonder which one. And it didn't matter because I had forgotten what I put on anyway. So it was like Christmas every time a new book came.
It's wonderful.
Books are amazing because they take you to places.
They take you to places
in your mind. And I will never, I always have a book on my iPad, on my phone now from the library. Like I said, I've got the stack by my bed, and I admit some of them by my bed are cookbooks because, you know, good recipe reading before you go to bed.
Especially at Christmas.
Gives you good dreams.
Oh, I love it. It does.
Well, it's the escape. It's the escape Danielle mentioned that you guys were talking about. Like, you know, as a kid, even in the summer, if you had dog days or just a time when you weren't feeling great or nobody was around to hang out with, you could lose yourself in a book.
At the camp, my husband's camp, cottage, comic book days when it was rainy out. And you could read anything. We just called them comic book days. You know, if the weather's not great, okay, kids, it's a comic book day. And we just grab whatever was around to read. And I love those days. I want more of those days in my life.
You want to talk about something opening, though, since we are now sticking inside or sticking in the backyard, sticking reading in the rain. Let's talk about Upper Canada Village opening.
So something else that gets me really excited is Upper Canada Village. This is one of my favorite places in the world. I might actually like it more than Disney World, but don't tell anybody. For people who don't know, I grew up here. It's like, it's people who don't know Upper Canada Village, it's a tourist attraction. It's actually just up the road from you. I can walk there as I get excited.
Oh my goodness.
They depict life in rural English Canada setting during the year 1866. And I heard you talking about finding the cannonball from the Civil War.
Right.
So when that cannonball was dropped is right around the time, so it would have been probably the like they said when they were leaving Texas, it would have been like 1865-ish.
Yep.
So this depicts 1866, so like they right around that time, which boggles my mind sometimes. Right before Confederation of Canada, they weren't able to open until this week. I actually opened yesterday, but with some adaptations, and I got this story from the Seaway Cornwall News that lists some of them out. They're going to do 90-minute guided tours of the village. Now, usually the village, I don't want to say a free-for-all, but you walk in and you walk at your own pace and you go. And for people like me who've gone 100 times, you go to your favorite places. I see the little piglets they have. My schoolhouse is my favorite building. They're keeping it like they did last summer, more guided tours of the village. So you do need a reservation, and you're not going to be able to actually go into the houses and the homes or the sawmill, that sort of thing. There's a lot of sounds and smells, and they've really worked over the years to make the village more accessible. There's a lot of tactile things. You know, you can feel like the quilts, the old straw beds, which I don't know how they were comfortable. Like they were the ticks, I call them ticks, not the bug tick, but like the ticks of straw. You can actually lie down on them. It's really cool. But it's just a different way to explore it. So it's a need to get more of a guided tour. A lot of times it's self-guided and you go in and you talk to the interpreters. So it's a little bit neat chance to get more of a guided tour of the village, which I might actually sneak down and try to do before they change things again.
Why is the schoolhouse your favorite? I like them too, but why?
Oh, I don't know. I think it might have to do with Little House in the Prairie books I read as a kid. Laurie Ingalls Wilder was a school teacher, and like the boys and girls sit on opposite sides, and like you walk in and the people they had, especially when I was a kid doing the acting the role as the teacher, he was strict as heck. Like boys on one side, girls on the other. If you wrote with your left hand, you go stand in the corner. You were allowed to write with your left hand. She talked you through. You could practice on the writing on the what do they call it?
The slate. On
thank
the slate?
You very much.
Yes.
Like, yeah, those chalk for you to do. I think it had a lot to do with the person who was the interpreter in it. And I just love it. And there was a swing in the back, an old tie, like an old, not tire swing, but a rope swing.
A wooden
with like
swing. Yeah.
Yep.
I just love it. It's my favorite. I just feel safe there.
And you can stay there as long as you want, kind of thing. And like you say, you really imagine, not so much going back to that time, even though, you know, obviously you could, but you just think, oh, the fresh air, the hanging out, the being out in nature, it's just, but that was day to day there. And again, I'm sure the people there took it for granted, just like, you know, like we take everything for granted. That's part of being a human. But for you to be able to go back there and find your favorite spots. Danielle, do you have a favorite spot at those kind of?
I love the Black Creek Pioneer Village. I have a funny story about that. When one of my sons was very little, I think 3 or 4 years old, and we told him that this was a village from a long time ago, and we were walking through, and his eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Finally, he says, "Is everybody here dead?"
The whole village
was filled with people. Yes, people who'd been revived, the people in the costumes. I was like, oh my goodness, what this child thinks.
You know? Oh, I think that's great.
But yeah, as a kid, that would make total sense.
Yeah. I love those places. They smell so good.
Oh, it's just amazing.
You know, the smell of the wood fire and the piglets. Yeah.
Okay. On that, anything we should know about the protocols for COVID?
So you do have to, it's the same. Don't go if you're sick. Bring your own PPE if you need it. You can purchase tickets online at uppercanadavillage.com, and you have to do that prior to arrival because it is a time ticketed experience. It's $15, children under 5-3. And right now they're saying tours are going to go until June 30th, when we're hoping there'll be a revision in what is allowed and maybe some things can start to open. And, you know, this is a fully working village, by the way. And my zombie apocalypse plan is to go live there.
Really?
Oh, that's
because
wonderful.
They've got everything. They've got a sawmill. They've got a blacksmith. They've got the bakery. They've got working gardens, animals.
Oh, there you go. You got the bar churning your butter and making your lye soap. Just don't get them mixed up.
Oh, dear. So just before we go, how can people get reservations?
It's uppercanadavillage.com. And please, you know, it used to be you could just show up. I don't know if it's opening too, but there's also a beaver tail hut there.
Nice.
I don't know if it's opening this year, but the past year, I'm just saying, like, another reason to go there. And it's also the place where the War of 1812 was fought, the Battle of Chrysler Farm, and during the summer. And I'm hoping they do it this year. They will do reenactments. I don't think they will. I'm sure they'll wait till next year. But they do reenactments complete with cannon fire and guns. And it's amazing.
It sounds like a very exciting way to spend a day. Thank you so much, Karen.
It's almost as exciting. Spending a day with you guys.
That's lovely.
Good.
See what I did there?
Yeah that commercial. Was lovely.
That's awesome.
Our content development specialists join us Wednesdays and Fridays on Kelly and Company.
Folks, we've got another full hour of programming headed your way here on Kelly and Company. We'll start out a little bit with the conversation of could there be another audiobook platform that gives Audible a run for their money? Ryan Huey, he'll explain on the Chatty Book Show. Plus, we'll get to conversation recaps and comment on segments from the past week on Cut for Time. But up next, Bill Shackleton, he joins us for the Friday Buzz. Danielle and I return after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.